My text is found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, and it's part of the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Ephesians. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. With less than 6 hours left of 2023, we consider this glorious prayer of the Apostle Paul. It's a crucial prayer. It's dealing with our hearts. Verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. It's a prayer for the family of God. Verse 15 and 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. It's a Trinitarian prayer. It's mentioning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But why does Paul pray for the Christian having the Holy Spirit dwelling in his heart? Isn't he there already? If you're a Christian, he's there. But why is he praying that he might dwell in your hearts by faith? Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 4, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Remember, Paul is writing to Christians in Ephesus. They had already received Christ as Savior and Lord. But why such a prayer as this? That the Spirit might dwell in your heart by faith through Jesus Christ. Why? Is there a difference here? Our text says in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Isn't he there already? To help understand this prayer, we initially need to look at that word dwell, D-W-E-L-L. It has two parts of it, if you like, kater, koia. Kater means down. Okia, to settle. To be at home. To settle down. There's one thing to be a Christian. It's another thing to see the Spirit of God dwelling in your hearts by faith. There's something about this word to dwell. That on the eve of a new year, all things are going to pass away. All things are to become new. I want to be like the person Paul is praying for here. What I want for 2024 is that my Savior will settle down, will dwell in my heart as one who is at home, abiding, dwelling there. If you're not a Christian, well, this is how you become a Christian. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. But for him to dwell in your heart is to have something over and above believism only. I want to do two things this evening very quickly, to look at it negatively and positively. What are they? As it might appear, we're looking at it in a negative way. What it ought to appear in a positive way, in answer to Paul's prayer. Let's look at the negative aspects of this for a moment. As it might appear. The text, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What's all the fuss about? I've been a Christian since a teenager, 1963. He's in my heart, I'm saved. But what impression are you giving of this indwelling, so-called? How real is the living Christ in your heart and in my heart? What could be said about the state you may be in this evening? As a Christian, you're referring to Christ as a tenant, not the landlord. We can live like that, can't we? Christians can live as if out of false generosity, they allowed Jesus to come in out of the cold. He was homeless. They opened the door and let him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Come in then, out of the cold. Are you that kind of Christian? I receive the benefits of his tenancy, but nothing permanent. The tenancy is not absolute. He could leave at any time. He's a squatter rather than anything legal. He broke in one night at an evangelistic meeting. He said he was staying. He's enjoying visits on long weekends. He comes in on Friday and leaves after the last hymn Sunday night. Like it, like that. Not too much of each other. Not fanatically bound to each other. Are you living like that? He's a bit of a recluse. Seldom seen or heard. Got neighbours like that? In the Gospels, wherever Jesus went, a crowd would follow. Are people just being polite to you and allowing you to believe they hear and see who's dwelling next door? Is it just a secret living within? Is it possible for Christians to be like that? Well, it was at Ephesus, and it's possible in South Wales. In Revelation 3 and 5, words to the Ephesian church, remember the height from whence you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. As a Christian, perhaps you've known a better day. Perhaps you've known a closer walk. Perhaps you've seen God as a greater reality to you then than he is now. Remember the height from whence you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. He told them in verse 4, you have forsaken your first love. Anybody like that here this evening? I firmly believe you are a Christian. But how? How much evidence and fruit of the Holy Spirit living within you, that he's dwelling in your heart by faith in Jesus Christ? My chief end, I'm told, is this: to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. If I am treating the indwelling Savior as a weekend settee surfer, where's the glory in that? Remember, at the close of an old year, regarding his occupancy, it might appear as if, as I've described it. I hope you're not there this evening. I hope you've got more than what I've described. I'm a Christian. What's all the fuss about? Pretty negative, isn't it? If that's the case, are you living a negative life? Let's look at it positively then. What it ought to appear as. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What is the picture of a truly indwelling of Jesus in the Christian? What should we be looking for? What should we be aiming for? What should we be enjoying right now? The Savior who is settled down in my heart. That's the word we're looking at, isn't it? Dwelling, settling down. He's told us, I've come to stay. His suitcase unpacked, and he looks forward to living happily in you. Metaphorical picture. He's not there as a stranger. He's not there as an alien living away from home. Now, I lived, and we lived, in the southeast of England for 37 years. My home was South Wales. Anybody from the southeast tonight? Where?
Kent.
Kent? Where in Kent?
Midway.
Croppin Hill, 10 years. There we are, my first pastorate. What do you think of that? I got a friend, you know him, Bernard Lewis. He said, I love the M4. You know why? Because either direction he's going home, Pembrokeshire or London. It goes like that. 37 years, but my home is South Wales. Somebody said you can take a boy out of Merthyr, but you can't get Merthyr out of the boy. It's like that, isn't it? Bishop Hanley Moore writes of this word katakoi is a word expressly to denote residence as against lodging. The abode of the master within his own home as against the turning aside for a night of a wayfarer who will be gone tomorrow. Perhaps you remember a holiday with a relative, but you were glad to see the end of it because you didn't feel at home for 1 second. Now, what I'm talking about is opposite to that. The Saviour settles down because it's his property. Mine. I bought it. He's not living in an old almshouse through charity. He bought it outright. He purchased it. Paul tells us how he purchased it. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You're not your own. You don't have the keys. You don't have the deeds. I remember my parents talking about a house opposite us. Flo, that's my mother. It's for sale. Three up, three down, and a bathroom. How much? £1,300. My father said, forget it. Too expensive. Jones, my name is not Getty. That was the day that we lived in. Perhaps you remember, perhaps you were brought up in those days. But Jesus paid an insurmountable price to dwell in our hearts. The price, the value, Peter puts it like this in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Perhaps you're not converted and you're wondering what you're worth before God. Look to the cross. See how much he was prepared to pay to dwell in your heart. Not a goat, not a lamb, but his son, the Lord Jesus. Your heart belongs to him. He has the eternal right to be where he is, and he's not going to slum. He's got the deeds to dwell in your heart, to call it home. He settles down because it's a new building. God said in Ezekiel 36, 25 and following, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you. I will remove from you from your heart of, and give you a heart of stone, and take away this heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh, and will put my spirit in you, and move you to follow my decrees, and be careful to keep my laws." Sorry, my reading's badly. Formerly Islam, but now a new build. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Every Christian in that sense is a new build, a new birth. Has it happened to you yet? Do you know what it is to be born of the Spirit, washed in his blood? From that moment on, he takes up his abode in your heart. A new build, a new birth. And he's in his element. That's what we're after. Everything he loves doing is at his disposal. He loves being with you in the work of sanctification. This is the heart of what I've got to say. The Christian becoming a holier person than he is. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, Paul says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." You see, for the Christian, your responsibility and my responsibility in sanctification is to work out in our daily lives what he has already worked in redemption. We are working out what he's already placed within his heart, within our heart. Dare I say it, he is the expert home handyman. What's he doing? In the work of sanctification, making me holy, we work out by his strength what he has worked into us in redemption. And he settles down because it is a little heaven on earth. Have you thought of your heart like that? Heaven, of course, is free of all garbage found in our natural lives. Coming home from North Wales on day before yesterday, the bins hadn't been collected. They'd been on the pavement, stacked high, hadn't been collected. You know, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in the heart that is clean. He's in his element. But in the process of sanctification, gradually changes take place. By his Spirit working in us, he throws out a dirty tongue, a dirty mind, a dirty habit. He takes away jealousy and replaces it with love, care, generosity. This is how heaven is. Because the things that he tosses out of your life and my life, they're nowhere to be found in heaven. And in his element, within our being, these things have no place. They throw them out. What's it like inside? Clean? Oh, but I'm a Christian, you see. Is it clean? Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Is it in blossom? It's a perennial, should be. Always in bloom. And it's fruit, not fruits. All should be there. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. He loves that fruit. He creates it. He brings it on. Well, is there any evidence of that in your life? He leads us to know and love the fullness of God in his love. Verse 18 and 19 of this prayer. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I'm a foot and inch man, ounce and pound man. I can't get on with what my grandchildren or some of our better read people in our family are. How do you measure the love of God? Feet and inches? Ounces and pounds? Time? His indwelling brings to us a greater knowledge of how much his love is towards us. We have a limited knowledge of how much Christ loves us. Sometimes, when our circumstances are difficult, when there is disappointment, failure, grief, unhappiness staring us in the eye, we feel it. Our estimate of Christ's love for us can seem pretty low. But even in the depths of Calvary, surely there's more to know of that love. People have shared their testimony that in times of their darkest hour, they knew something more of the love of God then than they've ever done. Is it like that for you? The width, the length, the height and the depth. Can we take it in? As he dwells in us, so the statistics become more apparent. In its width, its length, its height and depth, his love is infinite. But we can know more of it each day of our lives. And this happens when he dwells within your heart. When he's at home there, when he's not a lodger or a settee surfer. Grandad, are you like that when you do your visiting? Hmm? Yeah, settee with the dog. Knowing the fullness of God in our lives. 19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is spirit-filled living. I'm not a charismatic as such. But my friends, I need to be filled with the Spirit. That should be my endemic state. And in that state and condition, I will get to know his indwelling more and more. Knowing that fullness of God in our lives, in verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is spirit-filled living. The next century demands it. If we are to see God triumphant in our midst, we are to grow up into Jesus. John Stott, we are to be filled not with so much as unto the fullness of God. God's fullness or perfection becomes the standard or level up to which we pray to be filled, to be holy as God is holy. I'm not a holy Jew. I know I lack it. And to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, well, this is, of course, only to be realized in our final state in heaven. But it is a process as well. He wants you to have the fullness of his Godhead in your being. The indwelling Spirit who is in his element in your life and my life. In the process of my sanctification living, I want to be like Jesus. In the Welsh Baptist Sunday School, the English at the command of Agani was, "Oh, I wish I was like him." The Welsh, "O na bawni fel ei fer." "Oh, I wish I was like him." I wish I am like him. Well, 2023 had its moments for us all. In our failures, our ungodliness. But I want my Saviour in 2024 to settle down. I want to allow him to settle down, to be seen as the owner occupant in a new building. I want him to be in his element, a little heaven on earth. Is that too much? To know his immeasurable love and to be filled with all the fullness of God. Do share that ambition or desire. What a prayer. Is Jesus in his element in your heart? Is he there anyway? Has he or hasn't he settled down yet? Is he in his element in your heart and life? Dear Jesus, settle down in Owen Jones. That'll be the best prayer I'll pray for the next 12 months. Join me in praying for a Saviour to dwell in your hearts, to settle down, to be in his element, and to clean up your life and mine. Amen.